Yes, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to a special meeting of the NJEDA Board. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Attendees on Microsoft Teams should remain muted until it's their turn to speak. Please be advised, today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending in person will be acknowledged to speak first, then by Teams, and then by phone. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press star then one on your telephone keypad to be placed into a queue to provide comment. You may withdraw your question anytime by pressing star two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you require assistance during the call, please press star, then zero. I will now turn the conference over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Operator. I'd like to now call the meeting to order. Tim, could you read the open public meeting notice, please?
Yes, good morning, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to the Star-Ledger, the Bergen Record, and the Trentonian at least 48 hours prior to the meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State. Back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Tim. Manira, could you call the roll, please?
Yes. Chairman Terry O'Toole?
Present.
Vice Chair Charles Sarlo?
Here.
Phil Elagia? Phil Elagia?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to unmute here.
Fred Dumont?
Here.
Aisha Glover?
Present.
Jewel Antoine Johnson? Jewel Antoine Johnson?
She's
Robert Chip? Was that Jewel?
She's not attending today. Thank you.
Okay. Robert Shimko?
Here.
Josh Weinrich?
Here.
Aaron Cruz from the Governor's Branch?
Here.
State Treasurer Elizabeth Moyo?
Here.
Commissioner Robert Angelo?
Here.
Manuel Polino for Commissioner Zimmerman?
Here.
Elizabeth Dragon for Commissioner Sean LaTourette?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Manira. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the NJEDA Special October Board Meeting. Throughout his time in office, Governor Murphy has recognized the economic potential of a thriving film and television industry. Under his leadership, New Jersey built a foundation for sustained growth, expanding initiatives, incentives, nurturing homegrown talent, and attracting top-tier studios to the Garden State. Exciting developments over the past few weeks, including the announcement of a record-breaking 2024 for in-state film production spending, the debut of Deliver Me From Nowhere, the Bruce Springsteen biopic, which was in film entirely in the Garden State, serve as a testament to the industry's continued momentum. With an experienced workforce, a diverse range of filming locations, and the success of the state's film and digital media tax credit program, New Jersey has emerged as a national leader in the industry, supporting small businesses and creating jobs. Today, the board will consider the designation of Paramount Global as a studio partner, solidifying a major long-term commitment from a leading global media company that adds to the industry's growing momentum in New Jersey. Earlier this week, Paramount signed a 10-year lease at Bayonne's 1888 Studios, a film lease partner facility occupying more than 286,000 square feet of space in the region's first campus-style film and television studio facility. 1888 Studios represents a major milestone for Bayonne and for New Jersey film infrastructure. Nearly 1.5 million square foot production campus that will anchor hundreds of jobs, attract major productions, and further position the state as a premier destination for global media investment. Paramount's commitment to New Jersey, along with commitments from other production powerhouses like Netflix and Lionsgate, exemplify the state's transformation into a national hub for media production, strengthening our long-term economic competitiveness and bolstering employment opportunities for all those in New Jersey. Now I'll turn the meeting over to Tim.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll be really brief, given that we've got this is a special meeting and we're virtual, and I'm actually going to pick the mic back up before the two film items and do a little bit of a prelude on framing on film. But I just wanted to take a moment to, first of all, thank our board for being available, not just for this special board meeting, for the committee meetings that come together every time we have a board meeting, and to our team. Obviously, the governor has made it clear that we are sprinting through the tape, running through the tape, finishing strong, whatever your metaphor of choice is. I think the Paramount announcement this week is as good an example as you can find anywhere imaginable for that. But that means that our team is, pedal to the metal, nose to the grindstone, constantly working on stuff. And so having a special meeting, not only to advance the key film items that are on our agenda, but a couple other items as well, to sort of thin out the expected significant amount of activity we'll have at the November and December and January board meetings as well. Hopefully makes sense. I just want to extend my appreciation to our incredible team within the EDA that works so incredibly hard all the time on high-profile things like Paramount that grab headlines, as they deservedly do, and on things that are making a difference in communities and on things behind the scenes as well. So I just want to extend my appreciation, I'm sure Mary's, to the entire team. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll yield the floor back to you, and I'll pick it up after public comment on film.
Great. I would now like to open the public comment portion of the meeting. First, I'm going to ask Danielle Esser to share NJEDA's public comment policy and process for this board meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment portion of the meeting will be acknowledged to speak first by Teams and then by phone. Members attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Each person will be acknowledged to speak in the order of hands raised. Once acknowledged, please unmute yourself to provide your comment. All members of the public must remain muted following the public comment portion of the meeting. A staff member may mute you if you are unable to remain muted. Members of the public attending via phone who are interested in providing comment will be advised to press star then one to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue to speak and provide comment based on the order received. I'll now go over NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available on the NJEDA website. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization, affiliation, and the topic on which remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. A person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure enough time is available for all those who wish to speak, and related documents, printed comments, or materials may be attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comment at this time.
Excuse me. Thank you, Danielle. We'll now acknowledge members of the public who wish to provide comment at this time. Anyone on Teams who wishes to provide a comment, please raise your hand. Danielle, do we see anyone?
I'm not seeing anyone raising their hands on Teams to provide comment at this time.
Okay. Operator, let's go to anyone on the phone who wishes to provide comment.
Ladies and gentlemen, for members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question by pressing star, then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up a handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, you may press star, then one at this time. One moment, please, for our first question. I currently show no comments.
Okay, thank you, operator. I will now consider the public comment portion of the meeting closed. We're now going to go through our business items, and first, under the Incentives Committee, we have several items. Josh, do you want to give a quick summary on the Incentives Committee meeting that took place before this board meeting?
Sure, thank you, Chairman. The NJEDA Incentives Committee met on October 16th. Staff presented recommendations to approve rule amendments for the Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program, the designation of a studio partner, and two Aspire project approvals for issuance of tax credits. Staff will now present these items as part of today's agenda. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Josh. First, under film and digital media tax credit, Matt, on the new rule amendments.
I think before Matt takes the virtual rostrum here, I think I'm going to jump in with a little bit of just framing.
Sorry.
And both Matt and John Crowley hopefully are on their game ready to help me with any support. Just wanted to, before we get into two very, very meaty film-related items, want to do a little bit of context setting. And Hector, if you can advance the slide, please, into the film slides, please. There you go. One more. Just want to do a little bit of table setting for the growth and momentum in film and sort of why we continue to push forward and set some context where we're proposing to continue to push forward on some important fronts, including the rules and then the Paramount item. So this chart looks at the qualified spend. So in 2018, Governor Murphy signed a piece of legislation to bring back the film and digital media tax credit. You can see, rarely can you see the impact of a single piece of legislation so clearly numerically here. You start to see a skyrocketing of production. Obviously, 2020 quite impacted by COVID, but if you just start drawing a slope upward from 2018 to 2024, you see a 10x growth in the amount of filming and digital media activity happening in New Jersey. We just recently announced more than $800 million in 2024. 2025 feels pretty good as well as we sit here. Five, six of the way through the year, but just a huge, huge impact in terms of the amount of spend. They've also made significant, investments to make that happen, and the tax credits are fuel. They're not the only existential ingredients in New Jersey's film success. The fundamentals of our talent, our location, our variety and diversity of locations, our studio infrastructure, all those things are the fundamentals, but the film digital media tax credit is kind of the rocket fuel. We've made 50 approvals, some at this board, some on a delegated basis, for nearly $250 million just this year. And we've importantly started to see certifications of completed productions. So we've made, over the life of the program, we've issued a little more than $500 million of credits to support that growth. Next slide, please. Really importantly, Hector, help me out with the next slide. There you go. Really importantly, we've seen our numbers go up. We are actually we are taking huge amounts of share. This chart is a little bit of an eye chart, but this is a screenshot from the Hollywood Reporter. We didn't make these numbers up. These are 2025 related numbers. Basically, the thematic here is everybody else is down. We're up 80% according to the Hollywood Reporter's numbers through the first half of 2025. So we are taking huge market share from places like Georgia and New York and even California, which is in a bit of a panic about its own film industry. And so we are seeing huge relative growth in Jersey particularly as a share. And we're basically the only, even their subheader up there said Jersey was the only major Hollywood hub to see an overall spike in spending on features and TV shows so far this year. So again, we're making a splash and we're making a market share gain as well, which we always hoped was going to be our theory of the case here. Next slide, please. This is 2024, just to show you the breakdown of who's doing what. For the $833 million, about a little more than a third of that was Netflix, who is here in size already. Disney and the Fox family is our number two set of productions. And then you see, all the, headline names out of Hollywood NBC, Lionsgate, Sony, Paramount made two productions in 2024. Hopefully we'll see a lot more from them if today goes well. So you've seen, a real variety and diversity of basically everybody in Hollywood, or I suppose everyone in the film industry, since Hollywood is now a rival of Jersey for its concentration of activity. But you've seen, all the players playing in New Jersey, but Netflix at the top of the list, not surprisingly, given their massive investment that they're in the middle of making at Fort Monmouth. Next slide, please. Most importantly, why do we care about this? Yes, it's cool to have, celebrities in town making movies. It's cool to have, Timothée Chalamet making the Bob Dylan movie or Jeremy Allen White making the Springsteen movie or, pick your celebrity of choice, hanging out in town. Most importantly, they spend money and they hire people. So more than 30,000, cast, crew, extra hires in 2028. So we're seeing a huge impact, 69% increase in 2024. The amount of money being spent by these productions in state, complete unknown, just to keep picking on that one, more than $30 million spent in state. That's a lot of pizza. That's a lot of dry cleaning. That's a lot of security, a lot of carpentry, a lot of set design, hair and makeup. It's an incredible job spinner. That's why Governor Murphy and the legislature, I think, have continued to invest so significantly here. Next slide, please. Really importantly, one of the reasons I feel really good about the longevity of our strategy is that our film tax credit program, and Matt will get into this in a couple minutes when he talks about the rules. Our film tax credit program is purpose built to encourage long-term capital investment and studio development so that we have bricks and mortar and we have long-term infrastructure. The blue stars are the two existing studio partner designations. One is in italics, which is Paramount and Bayonne. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes, hopefully for your consideration to make them the third studio partner, which is when you unlock the sort of strongest benefits in exchange for long-term commitment to the state, long-term capital investment. Is there also the film lease partner, which is a little bit less premium as a program than the studio partner, but it's still enhanced compared to the legacy tax credit program, and we've had an approval for that for Bayonne and 1888 Studios as well. Think about 1888 Studios. This is a deep oversimplification, and Arky and the folks developing it would probably cringe at this, but it's a bit of a mall, and Paramount's now kind of the anchor store, but you've got lots of other real estate there. It's a campus set layout for a multi-tenant facility, Paramount now being poised to be the anchor tenant and the marquee or Paramount, if you will, tenant there. But the Film Lease Partner Program applies to the entire campus in Bayonne. Next slide, please. But importantly, you might say, well, that's great for sort of North Jersey and Central Jersey, depending on where you think Monmouth County is. The impact of the film industry is really having a statewide impact. These are the additional dots, stars here are either our FilmWorks grant training program, so workforce development grants that we made as recently as last month, some of the activities of the Film Academy, as well as a project we're doing with Montclair State University, that's a typo in college, but Montclair State University to support a variety of academic training and various other interactions that really are helping create a jobs pipeline from all throughout the state. Next slide, please. Importantly, too, we talk about the studios a lot, and I'll continue to talk about the studios a lot because that's an incredibly important part of the mix. But even if a movie is based in Monmouth County at Netflix or soon to be based at Fort Monmouth or based in Newark at Lionsgate, there's always on location things that need happening off outside the studio. And so, getting our towns and our cities ready for this surge in film activity has been really important, and the Film Commission and John and Elizabeth and the team that runs the Film Ready program has been really important in getting our cities and towns ready for this. We've had 47 applications for this program. We've had 25 approvals for towns to be film ready. What that means is you are organized in advance so that when a film shows up in town hall and says, hey, we'd like to film, can we get some permits? What are your fees? It's already organized. It's already pre-negotiated. It's already best practices and industry standards so that you're not asking the film industry to sort of negotiate with every single municipality in our blessed state. We know we have so many of them, so that you move 30 feet across the street and you're in a different town, and you have this whole different set of rules. We want to try and create as much standardization as we can. Lots of you have been helpful in this. Fred Dumont hosted one of these workshops in Hamilton probably a year or so ago to get Mercer County towns engaged in this. We've had 8 workshops all throughout the state. So again, trying to get the local impact of the film industry as distributed and sort of taken up as best as possible. Next slide, please. In fact, I think that's it. So anyway, the broad point here is, you can go ahead, Hector. The broad point is that, film is having a huge impact. The investments that this board has authorized and supported and hopefully will continue to in a few minutes have made a huge impact, and I think is setting up a long-term industry for the state. Happy to pause there, take any questions or reactions on any of that before handing it to Matt to get into the meat of the rules. And the rules are meaty, so if you want to talk about the fun stuff of film, this is the jumping off point before we get into the technicalities.
Hey, Tim, it's Liz. I just want to say, as we're at the end of the Murphy administration here winding up, this program, I think, is going to be a real legacy project, a real legacy. We'll establish a real legacy for the EDA and the work of your team and everyone here on the board, and really proud of the work that the EDA has done on this, and it's going to make a difference, I think, for generations. So thank you to the whole team for working so diligently on this. It was a long slog, I know, but the fruit it's bearing now and will in the future is incredible. So congratulations.
Thank you, Treasurer. Thanks, Liz. I should also give a shout out. Anytime we're issuing tax credits, particularly the volume and the frequency we are here, Liz, not only as a board member, but your team in taxation that is a great partner to us across lots of different programs, but certainly now one of the frequent flyers being film. Deep appreciation to you and Aaron and everybody at taxation for great partnership on this.
Thanks.
But then if it's okay, Chairman, I'll hand it to Matt to get into the kind of the meat of the item.
Sure.
Matt, take us away.
All right. Good morning. The members are asked today to approve the special adoption and concurrently proposed rules to the Garden State Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program pursuant to the most recent law change from this summer, June 30th, 2025, when the governor signed PL 2025, Chapter 81. Before getting into the proposed rules and policy, I'm going to do a very brief overview of the program overall, where we sit today. If you want to go to the next slide. The Film Tax Credit Program provides an annual allocation of $430 million for the film and digital media expenditures in the state. The program has a new sunset date now, which has been pushed out to 2049. The program is split into two halves, one side for film and television projects and the other for digital media projects. Each of these portions are also separated by individual project types within them. For film, we have three buckets or allocation categories, the legacy tax credit, which as well as the studio partner category and the film lease production company allocation category. Under digital media, the applicants can apply under the legacy digital media category and two newer post-production categories. And all this we'll get into more in the subsequent slides. Next slide, please. The features you see here on the screen apply to all the previous categories mentioned. We have on the right here is kind of the application process, where we start with an initial application review and then approval. Then the applicants must hire a third-party CPA to complete a CPA certification of all the expenditures included on the application. Once that is approved, the tax credit can then be issued. The credits are transferable and can be used to offset liabilities for corporate business tax, gross income tax, and newly insurance premium tax. Next slide, please. For the film tax credit, there are different credit amounts available depending on which category applications come in under and where the expenditures are incurred. The legacy tax credit offers a 35% tax credit for both statewide wages and salary expenses, as well as for amounts for goods and services used outside of the radius of the studio zone. That's that blue circle you see on the screen. The credit is reduced to a 30% credit for goods and services that are used within that radius, where a majority of the filming in the state is concentrated. These amounts are increased for projects submitted by designated studio partners who can get a flat 40% tax credit for the qualified film production expenses. Film lease production companies also get an increase with a 40% base credit for statewide labor, as well as goods and services used outside the studio zone, and a lower 35% credit for those used within the circle. Next slide, please. So starting off with the film lease production company, these are productions or applicants who lease space at a designated film lease partner facility. That would be the Bayonne facility mentioned earlier. These applicants have to meet the normal eligibility criteria for the film program, but have additional criteria as well. If the designated facility that they are leasing from has not yet been constructed, they can only apply for benefits if they have at least a three-year lease for no less than 36,000 square feet. If the facility is already operational, they must film at least 50% of the project shoot days at the facility or spend at least 33% of the qualified expenses on goods and services at that facility. These applicants get enhanced benefits, which include the increased tax credit percentage as mentioned, but they also can include additional costs as qualified that other legacy projects cannot. And the same is true for the next slide for studio partners. Once designated, studio partners are able to apply for increased benefits for their subsequent projects as well. They get, as mentioned, the increased 40% flat tax credit, and they can also include additional expenses as eligible. Depending on the project type and the qualified spend, these applicants can include certain amounts of wage and salary payments for highly compensated individuals or above the line folks, over the $750,000 per person cap. They can also include certain amounts paid in deferred compensation. Next slide, please. Digital media, this is just touching on the newer post-production side, which is for applicants who incurred post-production expenses within the state. Post-production applicants from studio partners or that are performed within a designated facility can receive a 40% tax credit on those expenses, and they can receive a 35% credit for expenditures through a qualified post-production company. Different from the film side, digital media applicants do not have to apply on a specific project basis, but they can aggregate their expenses incurred throughout an individual tax year. Next slide here. I'm happy to stop and answer any questions about the program if there are any before getting into the rules. Any questions at all? All right, if not, I first want to thank the Legislative and Regulatory Affairs team, specifically Allison, John, and Rachel, for the work in getting the rules document prepared for filing today. I think at this point now, I think we're at over 110 pages worth of track changes and amendments, so it's a pretty significant uplift from where we were a few years ago. On June 30th, as mentioned, the governor signed Chapter 81 into law, which yet again amended the Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program. I believe that's the eighth amendment. I did not have any gray in my beard when I first started. The statutory changes include but not limited to what you see here on the screen on the left. As mentioned, the 10-year extension to the program. Awardees can transfer credits now to insurance premium tax liabilities. The bill amended the concept of a vintage year or how the tax credits are ultimately used. The eligibility thresholds for reality shows were amended and right-sized with regular submissions. There was, again, as mentioned, the increased tax credit percentage for studio partners. Importantly, the diversity bonus was amended and replaced with two new bonuses. Both of those are 4% bonuses, one for hiring from disadvantaged areas, the other for promoting the New Jersey film industry. Additionally, the bill added recapture safe harbor periods for studio partners, film lease production companies, and film lease post-production companies who received credits prior to their facilities being operational. The bill aligned the above-the-line caps across all categories, now at $750,000 per person, and extended the deferred comp period from 2 years to 4 years for what studio partners can include as eligible. Additionally, there was the amended and created definitions. There have been a total of four postings through the EO 63 process, which initially included postings of just slide language of the policy decisions, and more recently to a complete draft of the proposed text. Overall, Chapter 81 makes substantial program enhancements and required a significant amount of rule amendments and policy decisions. The attached special adoption and new rules incorporate the new and updated statutory provisions, as well as staff's recommendation for policy decisions based on these changes. And I'm going to outline a majority of these policy decisions, which are in the memo, but as well on the attached slides. Next slide, please. The new law, as mentioned, created two new bonuses to the program, a hiring bonus and a what we're calling a Promote New Jersey bonus. The hiring bonus replaces the diversity bonus and allows applicants who submit a hiring plan with their application. This plan will detail their plans to hire no less than 25% of the total employees working in New Jersey be residents from the following areas: distressed municipalities, land owned by the federal government prior to 2006, and economically disadvantaged areas. On the right here, you'll see the staff is recommending defining economically disadvantaged areas as any municipality which contains at least one qualified opportunity zone census tract. When initially looking to come up with the threshold, we looked at the population representation in those eligible areas and initially proposed a 40% threshold. But after comments received during the EO 63 process, as well as further considerations for the actual number of working people in those areas, and even considering the amounts of people actually working in the film industry ecosystem, we are now proposing a reduced threshold of 25%, which aligns with the previous diversity bonus. It's important to note that for this bonus, best efforts is allowed to obtain the bonus. So if there's an applicant who falls short of their hiring goal, they can still receive the bonus if they're able to provide evidence that they took best effort steps to try to get to that hiring goal. Next slide. The Promote New Jersey bonus is only for studio partner and film lease production company projects. They're able to receive a 4% bonus for submitting a plan which details the commitments the production will make to promote or invest in the New Jersey film industry. To be eligible, applicants have to meet four of the seven available criteria, which range from sharing social media posts and other promotional content, referencing or basing the film in the state, and establishing workforce development or industry recruiting programs. For the workforce development and recruiting criteria, staff is proposing to allow either the approved applicant or the larger studio partner entity to establish the programs to satisfy the criteria for the applicant, as long as that program was active during its New Jersey filming. Overall, between the two bonuses, studio partners and film lease production companies are capped at 5%. So if they do receive both bonuses, they would not get an 8% bonus, but they are limited, again, to that 5%. Next slide. So just a little reminder, when we talk about excess benefits or studio partner benefits or increased benefits, we are talking about the increases in either the tax credit percentage or amounts in qualified spend that is made available to studio partners or film lease production companies for the basis of their designation or their lease with a designated entity. And then furthermore, whenever you're discussing recapture or reducing tax credit amounts, the portions of the award that are subject to these recaptures or reductions are only those amounts based on those excess benefits. So they would never actually go to zero. They would just be reduced to an amount that a legacy project would have received if they are found to be in default. Next slide, please. Through Chapter 81, the legislature now allows for studio partner and film lease production companies who commit to at least a three-year lease to include as eligible and in proportion to their New Jersey shoot days, certain costs for producer fees, rights fees, and insurance premiums. In aggregate, these new expenses cannot exceed 7.5% of the qualified spend of the project. And for the purposes, it's detailed more in the memo, but for purposes of consistency when calculating the 7.5% cap, staff is proposing the order, the costs appear in the definition of the qualified, definition of qualified film production expenses, as detailed and laid out in the memo. Next slide, please. Staff recommended making clear that these new producer fees costs were actually out-of-state producer fees. Staff added this new defined term, meaning wage and salary paid to individuals who are listed in the credits for the film with the title producer, and payments made to a vendor that provides production services. As is consistent with the statute, if the payment is to a loan out, the production company must comply with the statutory requirements for gross income tax withholding and business registration. These payments would not include payments for line producers or people involved in specific department responsibilities, like a VFX producer or vendors who provide production services in specified geographical jurisdictions. Staff also makes clear that rights fees, referenced in the previous slide, refers to intellectual property rights, and it excludes IP rights generally associated with script costs. Additionally, Chapter 81 amends the program to allow studio partners and film lease production companies who have those leases can now include as eligible, and again, associated any associated fees or expenses for out-of-state script costs in proportion to the New Jersey shoot days. Staff created a definition for script costs to make clear that these out-of-state script costs exclude costs for out-of-state facility rentals and materials, but they would include IP rights generally associated with script costs. Other excess benefits for studio partners can include payments to highly paid individuals, generally called above the line. These payments would be in excess of the normal $750,000 per person cap. And then depending on project size, if you're over or under $25 million, they can include up to 18 or 72 million in these above the line expenses. Chapter 81 created another tier for studio partners who submit projects that are feature films and incur at least $125 million in qualified spend. These tentpole productions can include as qualified up to 72 million in excess above the line payments and include uncapped amounts associated with script costs and deferred compensation. Next slide, please. Studio partners and film lease production companies, and then the newly created film lease post-production companies who apply for benefits prior to the production facility being operational, have occupancy commitments once the facility is fully operational to remain in compliance with the program. For studio partners, they have to commit to occupy the facility for 10 years, and for film lease production companies to get the only benefits, they need to commit to occupying the facility for 3 years. If they default on these commitments, the EDA can recapture any excess benefits they received on the basis of the designation or lease with the targeted facility, or reduce any approved amounts that had not yet been certified. Chapter 81 adds provisions to add protections against recapture for credits received prior to these facilities being operational. The EDA will not recapture unissued credits for studio partners and film news production companies within 12 months of its lease signing, and that period can get extended out to 24 months if the facility commences construction within that first year. Additionally, Chapter 81 adds protections for any studio partner or film news production company who is unable to occupy the facility for reasons outside the control of that entity. These protections include protections from both recapture and reductions of credit amounts. Next slide, please. Staff has recommended defining reason outside the control as any unforeseen event related to the production facility outside the approved applicant's control and without fault or negligence for which the approved applicant is using good faith efforts with all due diligence to proceed with its obligations under the program, and the approved applicant has made good faith efforts to prevent, avoid, mitigate, and overcome the event. Next slide, please. This is the last slide. Staff is also recommending the in the rules the ability for studio partners who are leasing from a designated facility who are unable to occupy the facility for reasons outside their control, mentioned on the previous slide, to maintain their designation and thus their benefits as a studio partner, as long as they are taking good faith efforts to cure the facility, to cure the failure to occupy by finding a production facility space that meet the requirements of the program. If they're unable to cure the event, like not being able to find a suitable facility, the designation would then be revoked and any credits issued or approved during that cure period would be protected. That was certainly a lot there, but again, there is a lot of detail in the board memo and even more in the rules if you want to read 110, 111 pages or so, but happy to answer any specific questions that members have about the request or the rules presented today. And this entire memo only needs one single vote. Thanks.
There will be a test on this, and it is an essay test. I have bad news for everyone. No multiple choice. No hoping for the probabilities. No, okay. Thanks, Matt. Great job. Just to reiterate and underscore one thing, one sort of thematic that I mentioned earlier, and Matt's presentation illuminated far better than I could. The fundamental bargain of the three tiers is the more you invest and the longer term you commit to Jersey, the more enhanced the benefits become. And that is the fundamental sort of ladder that is established in statute to encourage folks to do what Paramount is poised to do, what Netflix is in the middle of doing, what Lionsgate has been doing for some period of time to make long-term investments in Jersey. That's sort of the fundamental bargain. And one of the things that very much distinguishes Jersey's tax credit structure from places like Georgia, which doesn't really differentiate in meaning, that's an oversimplification. It does differentiate in some ways, but it is not the same level of encouragement for long-term commitments that we have.
And if you don't perform, you lose, right?
Yeah. Broadly, yes. There are 15,000 complications underneath that statement, but yes.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Hearing none, there's a motion to... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. This
go
is ahead, Aisha. I have a question around the film lease production company or the studio partners, are the amendments specifically just for those two categories? Or I'm thinking specifically there are broader digital media tax credit recipients in the state that are not tied to film. So I guess I was just curious if these amendments were specifically for those two categories of studio partner or film lease production company.
So the statute, the legislature did make some changes regarding digital media, but they left the legacy digital media untouched. They added the newer categories for post-production for projects that film outside of New Jersey. The digital media is largely the same, if that's what you're referring to.
Yes, and I was also referring because I was trying to get clarity on whether or not I should recuse because Audible takes advantage of the digital media tax credit. But I wasn't sure if this was more specific to the film studio partners and the other category, film lease production.
Yeah, it does touch. It touches the entire regime. Most of this. So the biggest way it touches the entire regime is that it extends it until 2049. Send me a postcard. But it does make some tweaks, some enhancements to the post-production element of digital media. So abundance of caution and recusal. That makes sense there.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the adoption of the proposed rule amendments?
Weinrich, move it.
Thank you, Josh. Second?
Angelo.
Thanks, Rob. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Noting Aisha's recusal, any other opposed recusals or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the rules are adopted. Next item on the agenda is Chris Delvecchio on the studio partner designation. I am actually going to recuse myself from this. I've discovered that we actually own 4,000 shares of Paramount Global in our foundation. So out of an abundance of caution, I think I should recuse. I'm going to ask, Charles, can you just lead through the vote on this item?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
So this is requesting the studio. This is Chris, I think, presenting.
Thank you, Chairman. Members are asked to approve the studio partner designation for Paramount Global, Inc. under the Garden State Film and Digital Media Jobs Act. This approval is a recommendation for a designation only and is not an award of tax credits. Two designations have been awarded thus far, one to Netflix and the other to Lionsgate. If approved, there will be no studio partner designations remaining. Some background on the project. The applicant, Paramount, is a leading global media, streaming, and entertainment company that creates content and experiences for audiences worldwide. With iconic consumer brands, its portfolio includes CBS, Paramount Pictures, Nickelodeon, MTV, Comedy Central, BET, Paramount Plus, and Pluto TV. In addition, the company holds one of the industry's most extensive libraries of TV and film titles. Just a note for the board, on August 7th, 2025, media companies Skydance Media and Paramount Global closed a transaction to form a new entity known as Paramount Skydance Corporation. This agreement does not affect the application or the applicant entity, other than that its ultimate parent company is now Paramount Skydance Corporation. Paramount has signed a minimum 10-year lease to occupy over 280,000 square feet of production facility space in 1888 Studios in Bayonne, which is an approved film lease partner facility. The approximately 280,000 square feet would exceed the 250,000 square foot minimum requirement for studio partners, and the lease meets the minimum length requirement as well. The lease would include 113,480 square feet across five sound stages, 34,000 square feet of workshop and storage space, 56,000 square feet of production office areas, 20,000 square feet of convertible flex areas, 13,000 square feet of grip and electric areas, and 50,000 square foot base camp and back lot. The production facilities will be constructed by New Jersey Film Lease Partner 1888 Studios, which is Togus Urban Renewal LLC, and is expected to be operational in early 2028. Just want to make a note to the board that 1888 Studios is an Aspire recipient as well. Paramount would not participate actively in the construction of the facilities other than to provide feedback around the design applicable to its lease premises. Authority staff has reviewed the application of Paramount Global, Inc. and found that it does satisfy the studio partner eligibility requirements of the Act and the proposed rule amendments. Staff recommends members designate Paramount Global as a studio partner. As a reminder, the recommendation is not an award of tax credits and is for designation only. Thank you, and happy to answer any questions, comments, or concerns.
Thank you, Chris. Board members, let's get a motion on the table first. Do I have a motion in favor to designate Paramount Global?
Josh Weinrich, move it.
Thank you, Mark. Josh, a second.
Second, Elijah.
Thank you, Phil. Okay, any comments, questions, or recusals for Chris? Nope. Hearing none. All in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Okay, motion passes. Thank you, Chris.
And noting my recusal. And thank you, Vice Chair, for stepping in on short notice. All right, moving on. Congratulations, Chris. The Policy Committee met on October 17th and considered several items which are being presented for action today, including the creation of Take Charge, which is a pilot initiative designed to provide financial support for the installation of electric chargers throughout the state, and the approval of a qualified investment presented under the New Jersey Evergreen Innovation Program, along with several Spire awards. So first, Jessica on Take Charge.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. I'm Jessica. I'm an analyst on the Clean Energy team. We're requesting approval for Take Charge, which is a grant program supporting electric vehicle charging infrastructure projects in New Jersey for private commercial fleets. Our overall goal here is to support statewide transportation decarbonization goals by reducing capital expenses for charging infrastructure, which is often a barrier to EV adoption. We're also filling a gap in the existing landscape of EV-related incentives, which are primarily focused on public fleets when it comes to charging. And this gap was further identified through an RFI that we put out in July. The program will also complement phase three of NJZIP and NJZIP financing, which are two programs offered by the Clean Energy team that address the purchase price of zero emission vehicles themselves. What we're envisioning this to be a grant with first come first served applications with an initial allocation of $50 million from the 2023 to 2025 REGI project funds that are allocated to the EDA. The grant awards will range from a minimum of $50,000 to a maximum of $5 million per applicant, with multiple awards allowed per applicant, as long as they meet the $50,000 minimum. We also have a 50% reimbursement basis for this award for actual costs incurred. And these, the cap itself can be increased if the applicants are eligible for a few different bonuses. In particular, I want to highlight the overburden community bonus and the small business bonus. So we want to track funding and make sure it's also reaching applicants in these areas. In addition to approval for the program and for funding, we are also requesting approval to expand eligibility to include institutional applicants if those other programs from other state agencies that I mentioned before can no longer serve those applicants or become oversubscribed. Next slide, please. To get a little bit more into eligibility, again, applicants must be commercial for-profit organizations with two or more vehicles, and we're flexible on the type of fleet. That includes light-duty vehicles, marine vessels, et cetera, as long as they're being used commercially, and the charging infrastructure itself is being installed in New Jersey. And this is to account for, again, fleets that are in the process of transitioning their vehicles. To get into some of the eligible costs that the award can cover, as a broad overview, we're covering materials, labor, and equipment for new level two DCFC or DCFC charging stations, which are these higher capacity chargers that require more expensive upgrades than those typically used in residential settings. And this includes hardware, installation costs, construction related costs, upgrades to the electrical work that are required. We're also supporting new on-site renewable energy generation and storage systems to power the chargers, but that is capped at 50% of total eligible costs. And lastly, we're covering any soft costs like site assessments and engineering, but this will be capped at 15% of total costs. We're also including a 12-month look-back period that would start from program approval and would include any costs that are incurred by the applicant prior to application submission in that window, but again, capped at 15%. Again, we're dispersing the grant on a reimbursement basis, And there's a few different milestones. So the awardee can redeem 15% at grant agreement execution for that site assessment engineering and design cost if that work has already been completed prior to agreement execution. And then they will have then 24 months to complete the project with the opportunity for extensions. And after half of the eligible costs have been incurred, they will be able to reimburse up to 50% minus the initial reimbursement. And then finally, once charges are plugged in and active, they'll be able to get reimbursed for the remaining grant amount. For compliance, again, we're tracking charger usage data, a number of chargers. They have to use a compliant network service provider in order to share usage data with us. And this will streamline the compliance process, allow us to calculate emissions reductions with the help of our partners at DEP, and will allow us to help the BPU eventually develop time of use rates as well. Thank you. That was my overview, and I'm happy to answer any more detailed questions.
Thanks, Jessica. Just before we open it up to comments or questions from the board, just this is Reggie funded. I think Reggie's a great source of funding. This is a topic that has come up in the election. We'll see how next week goes, and you know, one governor at a time and all that. But it is something we'll keep our eye on for, you know, any, you know, potential changes, and you know, we'll make sure everything's lined up before we, you know, launch and not take any risk that is not worth taking.
But again, Tim, this is being funded by existing REGI funds?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, any other further comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Dragon motion.
Thanks, Liz. Second?
Robert Chimko.
Thank you, Robert. Any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed recusals or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the program is approved. Good luck. Premina, on a qualified investment approval.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, everybody. I will be presenting for approval our team's 11th investment recommendation under the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Fund program. Today, we have approved partnerships with 26 qualified venture firms managing nearly $6 billion in assets. Assuming this month's investment is approved, the program will have invested almost $17 million across 10 portfolio companies. Today, I am presenting an application by Pier 70 Ventures for a co-investment of up to $1 million into the Series C preferred stock financing round of Antigenix Therapeutics. The total round of $7.75 million is expected to be deployed in two tranches, and the Evergreen investment will follow suit with the EDA's first $500,000 tranche to be deployed upon closing, and an additional $500,000 to be deployed upon the successful completion of objective target validation studies, which is expected in 9 to 18 months. Upon approval, staff will reserve an additional $215,000 for direct administrative expenses and $175,000 for related management fees. Our venture firm partner for this transaction is Pier 70 Ventures, which is investing out of a $32 million first fund anchored by prominent institutional investors in the healthcare space. They are a diverse and women-led Seattle-based venture capital firm focusing on investing in early-stage technology companies, especially those led by diverse founders driving innovation in the healthcare sector. We can move to the next slide.
Before you move on, just one question.
Yeah, of course.
I know Kathleen knows I ask this every time. But if we've committed $17 million out of a total pool of what?
Currently $42 million. We also reserve a follow-on investment.
And Chairman, you may recall we launched a auction, a tax credit auction just recently. We're in the review of those auctions, and we will be coming to the board to issue those. That will give us plenty of runway there as well.
Okay, great. And so, and with your reserves, you're a little more than halfway through the existing, I assume, something like that? 17 out of 42 plus reserves?
Yeah, more than that. And we have a robust pipeline that we're expecting to materialize by the end of the year as well.
Okay.
In addition, the legislation was changed earlier this year to allow us to launch an auction
Even when less capital was deployed. Reason for my question is, you know, and it, this works if you have a portfolio, right? If, you know,
right.
So the bigger the portfolio, the more likely your chance of having, you know, good performance. So that's great.
Yeah.
Interest has been robust, both in the investment side, as many funds have had trouble raising capital. And we were really pleased to see the auction interest exceed actually the available capital as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chairman, just to add one more point, and I hope I'm not spilling the tea, previewing anything too much, but we expect when we bring the request for approval of the auction sales to the board in December that we'll be raising between 70 and 75 million of additional capital to fund future program
wow.
investments.
Well. Great.
And Chairman, the other thing we're also doing is being very proactive with the funds we have committed capital to find out what the probability is over the next 12 to 18 months that they're going to do a follow-on investment. If not,
mm-hmm.
I'll release some of that to that end after
mm-hmm.
that preliminary work. As a team, we have agreed that 50% of the reserves we're keeping will be deployed into new investments, and we'll cap it off with future auctions.
Great. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. A little bit about antigenics. The company is focused on developing novel antibody drug conjugate, or ADC therapeutics, to target cancer, autoimmune disorders, and other serious diseases. The firm's precision medicine platform works in conjunction with existing therapies, such as chemotherapy, localizing the effects of the medicine to specific areas of the body, like a heat-seeking missile. And before I wrap up my prepared remarks, I wanted to highlight a couple of exciting facts related to this particular company. Antigenics has secured an exclusive license to a patent portfolio that originated from research at Rutgers University by the late pioneering cancer researcher, Dr. Joseph Bertino. The company is in the process of basing its operations in New Jersey rather than Indiana due to the program's planned investment and the state's strong life sciences ecosystem. So it's a New Jersey story through and through. And if approved, this will be the program's first investment in a drug discovery company. I thank you for your consideration and happy to answer any additional questions.
Any further questions or discussion? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the proposed qualified investment?
Move it, Josh.
Thanks, Josh. Second?
Dragon, second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the investment is approved. Good luck. We have two Aspire awards. First, Deirdre on the Carroll Street Rehab.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. We are seeking board approval to award up to 85% of eligible project costs, not to exceed $36,664,831 in Aspire tax credits versus Carroll Street Houses, a 100% affordable housing Rehab located in Paterson, New Jersey. Because Paterson is designated as a government-restricted municipality one, eligible award caps are up to either 85% or $120 million. The applicant proposes the redevelopment of 10 two-three-story buildings of 88 residential rental apartments. The project involves upgrading the entire exterior of buildings, grounds, including security cameras, repaving lots and sidewalks. Interior work includes complete gut rehab of all kitchens, new appliances, bathrooms, laundry facilities, and management offices. There is also a temporary relocation plan for the residents as well. Wynn Development, the lead development entity, has prior experience with NJEDA and board approval for two projects. In fact, I will mention West Deptford Apartments in West Deptford, New Jersey, and Garden Court AC LLC in Atlantic City. Today, West Deptford Apartments, in fact, has a ribbon cutting, and we have also brought several ERG awards, including one for Hamilton Square Urban Renewal. And I just want to correct myself. There are other WIN developments and some hopefully to come. The applicant entity, Carroll Street Houses Growth Zone Development Entity, LLC, is a single-purpose entity owned by Carroll Street Houses, MM, LLC, a 99.99% managing member and an investor member that will be engaged at approval as a 0.01% member. The co-applicant is Rising Dove Carroll Street Houses, LLC, and it's a wholly owned entity of Rising Dove Senior Apartments, Inc., which is a 501c3. A purchase and sale agreement exists between Wynn Development Company, LP, and Inca Carroll Street Houses, the seller, with a closing date of November 30th, 2025. The co-applicant will deliver direct services to the residents, including housing assistance, budgeting, job search support, resume writing, and referrals to food programs as needed or other programs. The board memo provides more details about the tax credit sale and ownership and the co-applicant for this project. A legal review and sister agency checks were concluded and also cleared for the applicant, co-applicant, and related entities by the authority, and the developer will comply with HMFA and EDA's green building standards. The applicant is also on track to receive approval of bond financing at HMFA's November 6th board meeting. Next slide, please. The total development budget is $47,767,254, which excludes prohibited costs such as pre-development expenses not allowed by statute or program rules. For a GRM, land may also be included as eligible cost, but it shall not exceed 20% of the eligible cost. And in this case, the eligible project costs are $43,135.95. Per the Aspire program rules, developers and GRMs must contribute at least 10% equity. In this case, it's just under $5 million, and the developer is contributing $17,766,169, which exceeds the minimum requirement. The sources table in the board memo specifies other sources of debt and equity in this deal. And as mentioned, projects in GRMs, or especially GRM1, are eligible to receive awards up to 85% of total eligible costs, or capped at $120 million, whichever is less. And in this case, given all of the factors that have been mentioned, we are recommending an Aspire award of 85%, which is $36,664,831 for board approval. I just want to also note that if approved, construction will begin on this December 3rd of this year. That concludes my remarks. I'm happy to take any questions at this time.
And Deirdre, we're comfortable with this developer.
Absolutely. Wynn has brought several projects to the board that were approved, and they've done extensive rehabs and construction development across the state, and we have confidence in this developer in delivering. I would like
any
to also
The
last thing I wanted to just also mention that our underwriting department has done the due diligence and this developer has established the wherewithal to do the construction and be stable after stabilization for the rental.
Okay, any other questions, comments for Deirdre? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the Aspire Award?
Dragon, motion.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Second.
Fred Dumont, second.
Thank you, Fred. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the award is approved. Thank you.
Thank
Next,
you.
Annie on the Meadowlands Logistics Center.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The board is asked to approve an award for $56.5 million in Aspire tax credits to a commercial project and Sea Caucus located at 100 Patterson Plank Road in the Meadowlands area. The applicant proposes a 775,000 square foot Class A warehouse industrial building with 40 feet ceiling height and approximately 570 parking spaces, 232 trailer parking spaces, 96 loading docks, and with potential 89 spaces for future loading docks, four drive-ins, office space, bathrooms, and other amenities as requested by the final tenant and end user. In addition, the applicant is also constructing a public walking trail and a scenic overlook with public parking on the site as part of the project as well, and an additional public sidewalk and a bus shelter. The applicant is a special purpose entity that is wholly owned by the Hearts Group, Inc., which is the parent company of the lead developer, by way of several wholly owned pass-through entities that include Hearts Mountain Industries, New Jersey, LLC, and Hearts Mountain Industries, Inc. The lead developer is a privately held family-owned real estate company best known for large-scale development and ownership in the New York and New Jersey metro area, particularly in the Meadowlands. Their core focus is industrial and logistics and multifamily with additional hospitality, office, and retail holdings across the East Coast. And this is the authority's first time evaluating an application for this lead developer. The total development cost is $313.3 million, and to help size the award, we excluded costs that are prohibited by statute and program rules, including land costs and costs incurred prior to the application, and this brings the total eligible project cost to $189.6 million. Next slide, please. The required developer equity contribution of 20% is equal to roughly $63 million, and in this case, the developer is contributing $125 million, meeting the minimum requirements. Under the recently amended rules, the project qualifies as an eligible warehouse project that is a comprised project of industrial space predominantly used for warehouse distribution or fulfillment centers for which the developer incurs eligible project costs of at least $10 million in environmental remediation. The applicant has provided a licensed site remediation professional certification of the estimated remediation costs, and the budget is in the amount of $15.8 million. To help further size the award, we looked at the project's rate of return. We used the maximum rate of return provided by JLL, and with the benefit of the Aspire tax credit incentive, the equity IRR is 11.75, which is below the max rate of comparable industrial developments of 12.5. We subject the applicant's request to the program's various award caps. The project is eligible to receive up to 50% of total eligible costs, or $60 million, whichever is less, though the award is capped by the net positive benefit analysis, and that is how we arrived at the award. Based off these factors, we're recommending an Aspire board of $56.5 million for board approval. Happy to take any questions and open the floor up for discussion.
I think it's fair to say, Annie, we had a fairly involved discussion about this at committee just because this was one of the first Aspire awards that was an industrial project, whereas I think most of what we've seen is residential, correct?
Correct. This is the program's first.
Yeah, we have other commercial ones. We talked about Togus earlier, the film studio in Bayonne, as well as Netflix.
Yes.
But in terms of industrial, I agree with your characterization as having done a couple commercials. And the commercials, when you trigger the net benefit test, when we were doing the Patterson one a moment ago, the net benefit test is put aside because housing is deemed by statute to be sort of an inherent benefit for the affordable housing.
Any other comments or questions, board members, on this? Nope. Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve?
Move it, Weinrich.
Thanks, Josh. Second?
Second, Elijah.
Thanks, Phil. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the award is approved. Thanks, Annie.
Thank you.
Tim, any board comments?
I don't think Mary had a couple things she just wanted to share.
Wanted to chime in for 30 more seconds just to offer one more round of thanks. This is a big meeting with a lot of work that went into bringing both the studio partner designation and the film rules together. And so I just wanted to give a huge shout out to all the team members that worked on that, certainly a marathon over the last several months to do that. And then also to note, in addition to those momentous things, our Aspire application at Carroll Street is actually our first Aspire in Patterson. So another first for EDA in that front. So just wanted to extend that appreciation to the team and make sure the board was aware of it.
Great.
And I think with that,
that's
all the business we have. And hand it back to you, Chair, for a motion to wrap up, unless the Chair has other things you want to add to the agenda.
No, I was going to say, when we get together again, I'm just looking at my calendar, the 12th?
November 12th.
So
for the 12th, yes.
2 weeks. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you. A special thanks to everybody, both at the EDA and all of our board members for taking the time. This is a lot of work, as Tim said, as we raced through the tape here. So there's a lot to get done, but it's pretty exciting when we see some of the things that are happening. So thank you to all, and have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again in see you physically in person.
Here, can we just
motion to adjourn, Chair? I'll make a motion
to
adjourn. Sorry.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Have a good day.
You need to, sorry, right, we
thanks.
Need a motion and a second.
Second.
Danielle, yeah. I think I heard Josh and Phil Lagia on the first and the second, and we got the all in favor.
Great. Thank you.
Great. All right. Thanks, everybody. I see you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Verizon Conferencing Services. You may now disconnect.